The opening mocking Jesus, peace be upon him.
I thought that the opening ceremony was a disgrace, actually. I thought it was a disgrace.
You know, I love the Olympics, so I turn on the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. What do I see now?
And Muslims are stepping up to defend his honor.
I'm a Muslim. I'm not even Christian. As a Muslim, I show more respect for Jesus Christ than most Christians.
And we have Elon Musk all fired up because these are the same people with the same agenda that destroyed his family. We'll also be kind enough to answer some of the questions that Patrick Ben David has about Muslims and Prophet Muhammad and Islam.
Why is the religion of Islam growing the way it is?
I've been a police officer here for 16 years, and in January I reverted to Islam. Alhamdulillah, I'm very happy.
I was born in a Christian family. I was raised in a Christian way. I think Islam is a lie, because that's something I used to say. Islam is a lie, the Quran is poison. Already thought, okay, these Muslim guys are kind of crazy, and this religion isn't the truth. So it wasn't my eyes that were blind, but it was really my heart. I couldn't accept it. I became much more happy after I became Muslim. So I would like to invite everybody to become Muslim, just because it brings peace to your soul and peace to your heart.
Brothers and sisters, we've all had loved ones that passed away. A mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a close family member. But one of the mercies of our deen is that with the right intention, we can go ahead and continue to do good deeds on our loved ones' behalf. And what greater of a continuous good deed, sadaqah jariyah, than investing on their behalf in the Deen Center, a masjid and mega dawah center that will benefit generations to come, inshallah. So click the link below, donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
Let me introduce you to my faith. We have one God, His name's Allah, Allah. And His final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to Yas.
I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
My next guest, Hassan Shibli from Muslim Legal.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Inshallah, good to see you, Habibi.
Good to see you too. How are you doing?
Well, excited to be here, especially in this new beautiful studio you've got set up in Tampa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless it and increase the goodness in it.
Deen Center, yeah, we're coming along, alhamdulillah.
It's amazing. It looks beautiful, mashallah.
Thank you, alhamdulillah. So, okay, people tune on to the Olympics to watch the different sports that are in there, right? Some judo maybe, or some, I haven't watched the Olympics in a long time, soccer, what else? But what caught everybody's attention was what's supposed to be the Last Supper, according to Christianity, the Bible. But then it's not actually Jesus there, but it's what's supposed to represent Jesus, peace be upon him. And then you had the drag queens coming out and mocking the whole thing. What's your take on that?
You know, I think it's reflective of the extreme secularism that plagues France and French culture, frankly. I mean, they have a very different form of secularism than we do. I mean, in the United States, you have sort of a more or less neutral secularism in the sense that government is neither supposed to endorse nor inhibit religion. And I think that's a beautiful thing about the United States. Difference is, France actually has a actively anti-religious secularism. So they actually inhibit the free practice of religion. It's secularism to an extreme. It almost becomes its own religion, you know, and one that is very intolerant of people of faith and practice. And I think what we saw in the opening ceremony reflected many of the problems we saw leading up to the opening ceremony. So before we talk about the opening ceremony, let's keep in mind a few of the other disturbing issues as it relates to the Olympics in France. Number one, their banning of Muslim athletes from wearing the hijab. That was very problematic. Number two is that they are actually banning, for example, Russia from participating and having the normal act of it would because of what they claim are the crimes Russia is allegedly committing in the Ukraine. But meanwhile, they are endorsing and supporting Israel to participate, you know. And Israel is arguably committing far, far, far greater crimes against humanity, killing far more children, far more journalists, far more humanitarian aid workers. I mean, what Israel kills in terms of civilians in a day, Russia doesn't do in a month or even a year, you know, what we're dealing with. So the hypocrisy that we're dealing with from France is very clear. And then to top it all off, obviously they had an opening ceremony with people from the LGBTQ and trans in particular communities performing a mockery of what Christians believe to reflect Jesus, peace be upon him, and the Last Supper. Now look, we may have very different beliefs about Jesus than many Christians do today, right? However, what's indisputable is we as Muslims honor Jesus, peace be upon him. And the reality is the portrayal was extremely offensive to many devout Christians, and yet very few stood up and spoke out against it. In fact, you find Muslims, again, at the forefront of protesting this dishonorable and humiliating and insulting mockery of Jesus, peace be upon him. I mean, one of our dear friends and brothers, Brother Andrew Tate, was at the forefront as a Muslim saying, I am here as a Muslim, risking arrest in front of the French embassy, despite all of the hardships that I'm facing and the legal battles I'm facing and the personal risk this puts at me. But here I am as a Muslim with my Christian brother, Tristan, and we are protesting this insult and attack on the Christian faith. And there were many Muslims that stood by him. But it was very low. It was very low, and I think again it reflects not just France's secularism, which is fine, but it's militant anti-religious secularism that is trying to undermine the faith values of not just Muslims but Christians as well.
I mean, that's really profound that you see Muslims defending Jesus, peace be upon him, more than many Christians. And then you just mentioned one very well-known Muslim, Andrew Tate, who will have a look at him. He's actually standing in front of the French embassy, and he's trying to defend Jesus, peace be upon him.
But if nobody stands up, I'm a Muslim, I'm not even Christian. As a Muslim, I show more respect for Jesus Christ than most Christians. Every Christian in Romania should be outside here right now saying that this is unacceptable.
Yeah, mashallah. I mean, I was very, very inspired to see that. I actually messaged him and I said, brother, you know, Allah protect you. Make sure, try not to get arrested, because the last thing we need is for them to be able to try to find excuses to lock you up again. But I admire his sincerity and his conviction. And he actually asked me at that time for some verses from the Quran about speaking out against corruption, speaking out against degeneracy, speaking out against injustice. And what the Quran says about being willing to speak out against these injustices, regardless of what the price is. And I actually sent him an ayah from the Quran that he actually shared on his Twitter very beautifully, where Allah tells the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, remember when the disbelievers plotted against you, mm-hmm. and they plotted against you to kill you or imprison you or exile you. And they plan, and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. And, you know, being persecuted for challenging societal norms and the status quo is nothing new. I mean, you find now devout faith communities, be they Muslim or Christian, if they challenge what the societal norms are. I mean, if they challenge this idea that there's more than two genders, if they challenge this idea that children should have surgery that changes their gender when they're not even old enough to have fully functional brains, and here you have so-called doctors administering to them, essentially sterilizing them before they even hit puberty, and giving them medical procedures that will forever alter their life in irreparable ways. I mean, even Elon Musk, and we have serious concerns and issues with Elon Musk right now, especially with how he was basically a guest of Netanyahu in Congress recently, as Congress was cheering on this war criminal, and Musk was there in the audience and clapping for him. However, even Musk himself is outraged that, listen, you know, I was given bad medical advice, and I was, you know, basically participated in procedures that permanently deprived me of my son, where his own son actually ended up taking medication and having some procedures to change his gender into a woman. You know, it's
this was Elon Musk's own son.
Elon Musk's own son.
We're suffering the consequences now with
right,
this.
Right, right. And he basically says, you know, my son is essentially dead now. You know,
wow.
You know, it's crazy. So if you stand up right now as a devout Muslim, as a devout Christian or Catholic, and you want to challenge these very destructive movements within society, you may be targeted. I mean, you will lose job opportunities. You will be outcast, potentially. You will be persecuted and potentially even prosecuted. You know, but again, it's not new for people of faith to stand up. And they're not driven by hate. They're actually driven by love. They want what's good for everyone. I mean, if you have a child who's confused about their gender, I mean, it's, to be honest, it's really not that serious. Children are confused about a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? And that's really, more often than not, the result of a toxic community environment. And I deal with this a lot, by the way. I mean, as an attorney, the other day, I think I mentioned to you when we were having dinner, that I've had multiple instances right now with people calling me, going through a divorce. And the problems these people complain about, it's like they're all married to the same person. What does that tell you? It tells you that the root of this problem, it's not them nor the person they're married to. If you have multiple people calling with the same exact issues, it means it's a societal problem. Society, you know, through the mass media, through the government, has created a lot of confusion about what gender roles are, what family structures are, and they fed a very degenerate form of it that actually leads to the breakdown of the nuclear family. And when you have the breakdown of the nuclear family, you have a lot of children that then become part of the system, that become imprisoned, that fall into drugs. They cannot be people that will cause positive change within society. They're much easier to control. And who does this benefit? It benefits the elites that profit from a cheap workforce, that profit from a prison workforce even. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Kamala Harris, who's running now for president, one of the issues is she kept people locked up more than they needed to be so they could provide cheap labor for the state of California when she was the attorney general. So people have to understand what's happening and why it's happening. And I think if you're a voice that speaks out against it, you may be targeted. I mean, you'll get Prophet Lut in the Quran, alayhi salam. He was targeted for condemning the indecency of his people. And again, even Prophet Lut, alayhi salam, Lot in the Bible, he was driven by love even for his people. He said, what you're doing is harming you. And here we are trying to guide you to that which will bring you life, bring you peace and prosperity. And that's the same situation with the kids. I mean, when you're allowing children to have procedures that will permanently mutilate them, permanently change them, well, guess what? A lot of these kids are going to grow up and they're going to regret it. And some even become suicidal as a result. There's no going back.
Yeah. You get upset because you got a bad tattoo now, and you can still make some laser surgery, but imagine you're changing a body part. You're cutting
There's no going
body.
Back, There's brother.
No going back.
No going back.
Elon Musk, so what Elon Musk says here regarding this Olympics, I believe this is connected to that. Unless there is more bravery to stand up for what is fair and right, Christianity will perish. Elon Musk.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's very ironic.
What do you think he means by that?
Again, I feel like Elon is confused and he generally needs guidance. And I wish we could engage with him. You know, I always presume the best in people, you know, and no matter how many things we disagree with, that at least if they're willing to hear from the other side. Because again, with Elon, I mean, his own display picture, I've been told by some of my Christian friends, has some very anti-Christian sentiments in it. It has like an upside down cross. It has an image of a beast.
What is that?
Again, I'm not an expert in that, but what I've been told by his display picture in X.
Oh, his...
Yeah, his own display picture. It's him in an outfit, and if you look at the full picture, it's got some horned demon beast of sorts.
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk himself.
Yeah.
And then on the back is an upside-down cross. So I feel like he himself has participated in that very same anti-Christianity tropes that now he's concerned about, and I'm glad he's concerned about. And look, we need to foster an environment where people of faith, Christians, Jews, Muslims, even Hindus, people of all faiths are free to practice their faith without fear of repercussion. You know, and I think that's what the United States should be about. But I don't know if it still is or will remain that way.
I want to take it to the Quran, verbatim word of God Almighty, where since the theme was the Last Supper, here where people can go, Christians can go and others, they can go ahead and we actually give the Quran for free at thedeanshow.com. And here in chapter 5, make it easy for you, go from ayah, the verses 112 to 114, 115, you have the meaning of which is, remember when the disciples, when the companions of Jesus, son of Mary, not son of God, son of Mary, very important point, said, can your Lord send down to us a table spread with food from the heavens? Isa, Jesus, said, fear God, fear Allah, if you are indeed believers. They said, we wish to eat thereof and to be stronger in faith, his companions are saying, and to know that you have indeed told us the truth and that we ourselves be a witness. Isa, Jesus, said, son of Mary, see how God is like emphasizing son of Mary, son of
it's
Mary.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. Said, oh, now this is, his, he said, quoting Jesus in the Quran, oh Allah, our Lord, send us from the heavens a table spread with food that there may be for us, for the first and for the last of us, a festival and a sign from you and provide us sustenance, for you are the best of sustainers. Allah said, I am going to send it down unto you, but if any of you after that disbelieve, then I will punish him from a torment such as I have not inflicted for anyone among all the mankind and jinn. So this is like a miracle that's they're demanding, they wanting, and he's saying, look, I was going to send it down, but you cross the line here after that, this is it. This is a sign.
It's a beautiful story, yeah. And I'm very curious in terms of your own audience, how many Christians that are watching this were aware that this story is mentioned in the Quran, because I bet you not many. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, if you're watching this and you are from the Christian faith, please, you know, comment if you're familiar with this or if you're not, because it'd be very interesting to see how many are familiar with this. I mean, just people don't understand Islam's honor and reverence for Jesus, peace be upon him. I mean, the 19th chapter of the Quran is called Mary, and it's named after the mother of Jesus, peace be upon him. And the miraculous story of his virgin birth is mentioned in the Holy Quran, and we believe it and we honor it. And then this beautiful story of this meal that was descended from the heavens. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful and powerful lesson whereby his disciples asked for this. You know, they said, let us, you know, enjoy this heavenly meal that will descend from the heavens. And God said, all right, I'm going to do it. But listen, before you were having blind faith, you know, I mean, you witnessed some of the miracles at the hands of Jesus, but nothing to that extent. And here I will give you a meal from the heavens. But if you disbelieve after this, then you're done for, because you have no excuse now. There's literally no excuse. And so Allah mentions the story in the Quran. And again, I think I wish more of our Christian brothers and sisters knew of Islam's reverence for Jesus, peace be upon him. I mean, I really genuinely believe this. And again, this all comes from a place of love. But that me practicing Islam and being Muslim is the best way I can honor and follow the example of Jesus, peace be upon him. And it's very consistent with even the oldest manuscripts of what Jesus taught, because you find Jesus praying to God, calling upon God, saying, do not call me good, you know, God is good, he is greater than I. And that was the essential message of Jesus. Jesus' message was, have peace through surrender to God. Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
Keep going.
Well, Jesus' message was, have peace through surrendering to God. In Arabic, we call that Islam.
That's it, Lord's Prayer.
That's it. So we say that is Islam. Whatever Jesus taught for us, we qualify that as Islam, because it taught peace and surrender to God. So in a non-offensive way, with honor and love, we say we believe Jesus taught Islam. We believe he taught peace through surrender to God. And Jesus himself surrendered to God. It's very clear when you read the earliest manuscripts and even the modern day versions of the Bible that he surrendered himself to God. He worshiped God. He loved God. So by definition, he was a Muslim. Because just Muslim, all it means is someone who surrenders to God.
That's what it means.
That's what it
literal
means.
Literal definition is one who surrenders to God. If you go back into the Bible, you have Joshua, because you mentioned the prayer, how Muslims pray, that's how Jesus prayed. But if you want to go further back, you have Joshua worship Allah in Joshua 7:6. It talks about him falling on his face, praying. You have Abraham worshiped Allah this way, God Almighty this way. In Genesis 17:3, he fell on his face. It talks about how else do you do?
That's how you pray. Bow down.
Moses worshiped Allah this way. Exodus 34:8, he fell on his face, is described. Aaron, same things. People can go look this up. Numbers 16:22, and then Jesus worship Allah. Why? He's falling on his face, praying to himself. Who's he praying?
He's praying to God.
26:39, Matthew 26:39. And then you have the Prophet Muhammad doing the same thing.
Absolutely.
It's the same message, the pure monotheism, worship one another.
They were brothers, man. And that's why Islam is so powerful and beautiful, because it is the unifying message. Mm-hmm. It's the only non-divisive message.
It's non-divisive.
It says, listen, we are one. We have one way, one message, and we are one humanity, and we are one creation of God. And Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, peace be upon them all, they are all brothers. It's a very beautiful message. And then I want to point out to something, your reference to Allah. It's very interesting. I was watching a video, they had this protest in the UK, and some children were chanting some very offensive words using Allah's name.
Then Britain, right?
You know, and it's very disturbing to see, but you know, it actually saddens me, the level of ignorance, especially when I see those that come from a so-called Christian background. I don't believe they're truly reflective of Christian values, but some of these people come from a Christian background and they use insulting language in reference to Allah. What they're not recognizing is Allah is the proper name for God that even Christians in the Middle East have called God by for millennia.
Mind-blowing.
You know, so my neighbors in Syria, I grew up next to them. They would take me to church with them when they were celebrating, and my parents would let me go. You know, my parents wanted me to be exposed to a lot of different beliefs and ideologies so that my faith and belief in Islam comes pure and genuine from within. And they would call God Allah. Mm-hmm. You know, and we would disagree with them. They would call Jesus the Son of Allah, but nonetheless, they referred to God as Allah. So when I find Western Christians insulting the name Allah, what they're not realizing is they're actually just insulting the proper Arabic name for God. You know, Allah is God in Arabic. It's his proper name. And even Christians and people of other faiths, they all refer to God as Allah. And you know what? I'm going to share this with you. It doesn't matter what your religion is. It doesn't matter what your background is. If you're watching this and you're stressed, you're worried about something, just take a few moments and just repeat God's name. Just say Allah, 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 Allah. I guarantee it doesn't matter what your background is. If you do so, you will feel a peace within your heart.
If you open, it's mind-blowing here for Christians, if they speak, they know, Arab Christian know this, they open up the Arabic Bible, you had, so God created the world, said Allah created the world.
Yep.
This is in the Arabic Bible.
100%.
Allah created the world. This is in the Bible.
You'll find the word Allah in the Arabic Bible countless times.
Yeah.
It's there. I mean, this is just facts.
The mind-blowing ignorance is just, it's mind-blowing. But let's get into our friend here, Patrick Bin David.
Why is the religion of Islam growing the way it is?
He has our number. He can call. We can go ahead and answer many of these questions that he brings up about Muslims and Islam. Patrick,
let's do it, Patrick. We're waiting for you, brother.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and he brought up Muslims and Islam again.
Mm-hmm.
Someone brought this to my attention just today, and I thought it's a good opportunity to answer this.
Why is it that, God forbid, you say anything about them, you have to be careful? I mean, we had Bishop Marmari here. He flew in from Australia to be on a podcast. He gets up there and he says, let me tell you the difference between your prophet and my prophet, right? And he explains Muhammad against, you know, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Goes back and preaches. A young boy shows up to the church, grabs a knife, stabs his eye, and he's blind. He's gone. Mm-hmm. He lost his eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you not hear stories when people make fun of Christianity and Jesus? You don't hear stories like that.
Well, look, before you even ask that, I got to say, I mean, Patrick, brother, there's a lot for you to learn, and there's a lot for me to learn. There's a lot for all of us to learn, and I would love for us to learn together. So I really think, you know, I hope he takes us up on this invitation to engage with us. I know you're in direct touch with him, and I think there's a lot to learn, because there's small things that maybe in his eyes are small, but are actually a big deal. And I'll start with the end and work my way back.
But if somebody thinks Muhammad or Muslim, they protected, they celebrated.
I mean, first of all, thank Muhammad. We as Muslims, we thank the God of Muhammad. Right. We pray for Muhammad, although he doesn't need our prayers. But I think when we pray for him, God loves him so much, we ourselves are blessed. But again, even us, we don't pray to Muhammad. We pray for, as we pray for each other. You know, may God bless you. May God bless the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. May God bless the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. Peace be upon them. That is us praying for them. It's not praying to them.
Yeah,
that's a big issue. So for us, the biggest issue in terms of Islam is we don't pray to anyone but God. So when he said that we thank Muhammad, I've never heard anyone go on TV and thank the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We thank God who created Muhammad.
So that's the first correction there. Right there. Very important. Very important point.
Yeah. And then he jumped in. And again, I think he himself knew that he wasn't saying something right, so he tried to pivot. But even his pivoting was off. He said, thank Muhammad or thank Muslim.
He thinks Muhammad or Muslim.
Again, we're not thanking Muslims. You know, I think Muslim is somebody who practices. Islam is the faith. I mean, people, the basics, they don't even know. So how are they going to get the bigger things?
That's what boggles the mind. I mean, you got so many educated people out there speaking about Islam, but they know nothing about Islam. And what they do know is actually not the proper Islam. It's something that they've been programmed with from the hate industry.
100%. Yeah. Millions, hundreds of millions of dollars spent by the hate industry, hate profiteers, I call them, to demonize Islam, because I think they see the power in a beautiful way that Islam has. And I'll tell you this again. You know, I grew up in Buffalo, New York. Now I'm here in Florida. You know, we're Muslim by choice, brother. You know, I mean, people know your story as well. I mean, you know, we grew up in the West. It would be in if we go from a purely secular lens, because I believe there's so much blessings in my life by virtue of me being Muslim and my connection with Allah. I just see His help and support in so many ways. So I don't genuinely believe my life would be easier as a non-Muslim. But if you just go from a secular perspective, I mean, it looks so much easier to not be Muslim. I mean, again, you're a young, wealthy, successful lawyer, you know, living in Tampa, going to Miami. I mean, you could live a very enjoyable secular life. But we choose Islam because it honors us. You know, I've been talking now with some of the most wealthy, successful, influential American men. You know, right now I'm not necessarily going to name names, but these are the guys that have had it all when it comes to material success, you know, and they genuinely were not happy with it. They're discontent. You know, they've had, when it comes to money, drugs, alcohol, woman, you name it, they've had it all. And there's something missing in their life, and they're searching for that. And that's why you find people, I think, that have had it all when it comes to material success, and they choose to become Muslim. And what does it mean when they choose to become Muslim? It means they got to let go of all those girlfriends. You know what I'm saying? It means they can't drink alcohol anymore. They can't gamble, right? They can't charge interest with all their millions that they have. You know, they have to make a lot of sacrifices. Why are people making these sacrifices? Why do you have famous singers and actresses and supermodels and all these super successful people who have everything when it comes to this world making all that sacrifice and choosing Islam? It's because it honors us, it uplifts us. It's a beautiful message. And again, it's the universal message. It's the message of Adam, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, peace be upon them all. So again, I think there's a lot of ignorance, and we would love to be part of educating and clarifying adults.
He mentioned when, again, we condemn. I mean, you have, just when this happened, this, and I covered this, what happened was you had some nut job went and attacked the bishop. Just before that, maybe, I don't know, a week or a few days before, you had someone who stabbed multiple people. I don't know how many people died in the mall in Australia. This happened in Australia. And they labeled this particular case as a mental health issue.
And that's what it was.
Yeah. So that was, I'm not talking about the Muslim. I'm talking about the other person who did it. He's a non-Muslim.
So when the non-Muslim does a crazy act of violence, they have mental health issues.
Yeah.
But when someone happens to be Muslim, does something similar, nope, they are perfect in the brain. It's just their faith or religion or ideology.
Yeah, so when
the hypocrisy is mind-boggling.
When the community, you know, was talking about this from Australia, they were saying this person has also mental health issues. But the media is not reporting that.
Mm.
They're labeling it an act of terrorism. So you have these nut jobs, nut cases, and these people don't represent Islam. So I think this is the way that Patrick is framing it now. How would you go ahead and address this?
So again, what happens is if someone who happens to be Muslim does something bad, he is appointed by the media as the spokesman for all normal Muslims, right? When someone who happens to be Christian or Jewish or really anything else does a crazy crime, they are put as the outcast, the anomaly, the mental health issue person that's not representative of the faith. And again, I think it's due to ignorance. I think there's a level of cognitive dissonance. I mean, there's a lot that we can go into in that. But here's the deal. Look, when it comes to Islam, I'm not interested in saying what we're not. I'm interested in showing who we are and what we are. And again, I just challenge people to really get to know Muslims on a one-on-one level. Read the Quran. in whole, in context. You know, check out the great resources there are. There's a reason Islam is the fastest growing religion, not just by birth rates, but even through conversion, because people are finding that it just completes them. I mean, it's such a simple message. I think people don't understand what Islam is. Islam, again, it's a very simple message. It says that God is one, and he sent many teachers to humanity. And we should honor those teachers. Those teachers are Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, and many others that are mentioned in the Quran and in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that to get close to God, you just got to be good to his creation. You got to be grateful to God. Hence, we pray five times a day. And be good to his creation. That's it. It's a universal, simple message. You find peace. You're never alone because you know God is always with you. You know, you understand the purpose of life. You understand the so-called problem of evil. In Islam, we don't have a problem of evil. We recognize that this life compared to the hereafter is not even a second. You know, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, gave an example that this life compared to the hereafter is like someone dips their finger in the ocean. What little water drop is on their fingers, this world, and the ocean is the hereafter. I mean, you know, you recognize this life is short, that there is an ultimate justice, there is an ultimate reckoning, that we all return to God. And we're all connected to each other through God, because God knows what's in my heart and what's in yours. And that also means that God is the best protector, because he can protect us against the evil plotting of those who plot against us. It's a beautiful way of bringing about peace.
Here, absolutely. I mean, you just identified, you know, the basics of Islam, and I'm sure anybody who's sincere, they can connect with that. One God, being morally upright, the teachers with the prophets, teaching us not to worship creation, but to worship the creator. It just makes sense. It goes
it's
with the
simple.
Natural. It's simple. It's not complicated. Three in one in three, someone dying for your sins. No, you can't walk out of a restaurant and say, oh, it hits on him. You know what I mean?
Right.
Who? The guy that you don't know? Look, nobody's paying the price for your sins. You have to go directly to your creator, repent. God Almighty is not unjust.
And I believe that is actually consistent with the original pure message of Jesus, peace be upon him. Because I want to be clear, our loyalty, it is to Jesus. I am 100% loyal to Jesus, peace be upon him. What I'm not loyal to is the corrupt empires. I am not loyal to the Roman Empire and the pagans they had and how they tried to dilute the beautiful message of Jesus, peace be upon him. That's what happened.
This is where it happened.
This is where it happened. I mean, you look at, and again, please, especially for our Christian brothers and sisters, I swear to you, I mean no offense. This comes purely from a place of love and unity. And that is that, look, you got to look at this idea of December 25th being Christmas, right? Did Jesus, peace be upon him, really celebrate Christmas on December 25th?
No, he didn't.
I mean, and I get it that there's such a big cultural connection to it, right? And I respect that. So again, I tread lightly, and my intention isn't to be offensive. But if our loyalty is to Jesus, peace be upon him, then we have to see, is this endorsed by him? Because if it isn't, maybe you're offending him by celebrating it, you know? And you look at the history, where did the December 25th come and all these ideas come? They're directly traced back to pagan beliefs amongst the Roman Empire. And when they were trying to mainstream Christian teachings, they mixed Jesus' pure, beautiful teachings
with paganism,
with some of these paganistic cultural items. So, you know, because of your love for Christianity, you may feel offended when I challenge Christmas, but your love for Jesus should actually appreciate that, because what I'm saying is that Jesus himself never endorsed this. It actually came from anti-Jesus elements. So if you're loyal to Jesus, peace be upon him, your loyalty should be to him and not to the emotional attachment we have to the cultural baggage that was later added. And that's what you have to recognize. Your love for Christmas, for example, it really isn't. You think, because you've been raised, you've been programmed to think it comes from your love to Jesus. But if you actually analyze it, it's more of an emotional connection that you've been programmed to have. But its root comes from anti-Jesus elements within the Roman Empire who tried to corrupt his message. So then your love for Jesus, which you and I both share, should push you away from it. And that's why I choose to be Muslim, by the way, because again, I believe right now it's the most authentic way to reflect the message of Jesus, peace be upon him.
That's a good point. Patrick was mentioning when he was talking about Prophet Jesus, he didn't say God Jesus. Patrick said Prophet Jesus.
Let me tell you the difference between your prophet and my prophet. His name's Muhammad against you know, Jesus.
That's very interesting, because that's something we believe. He was
yes,
a prophet.
Yes.
And there is no distinction. We don't put one against the other. So yes. They're putting one against the other.
Mm.
Jesus, Prophet Muhammad, you know, the authentic narration where he's saying that I am like a beautiful house, that you go around and everything is complete except that one corner that's missing one brick. And people go around and say, wow, it's so beautiful, but there's just one piece missing. Prophet Muhammad said, I am that brick. I'm the finality of the beautiful. Prophets and messengers.
And he said, yeah.
We're all brothers.
And he didn't say, look, I came to destroy, build my own. No. Nor did he say, I'm the whole building.
No.
Isn't that amazing? He could have said, I'm the whole building or the updated. No. He said, look, the building was there. The building is beautiful. It was just incomplete. It was missing one piece. And he said, I'm just that one piece that completes the message.
Yeah.
And really, his message was to revive the pure and beautiful, unadulterated message of Jesus and Moses and Abraham, who all used to worship God. And for us, yes, as Muslims, we don't believe God is a person. We don't believe you can imagine what God looks like, or that our minds can even comprehend. He's the creator of time and space. We can't even think outside of three dimensions. You know, they say there's a fourth dimension, fifth. We can't even comprehend what that looks like. How are we going to comprehend, you know, the creator, the unseen seer of all? It's next level. So again, it's very simple. God is one. The prophets are brothers, and we honor them all. And that is why, yes, as Muslims, when we see people mocking Jesus, peace be upon him, we are offended. And we don't tolerate it, you know. And, you know, I think Patrick Bet-Davis, I mean, his issue was, well, why are people more willing to offend Muslims than they're willing to offend Christians? And I think that's because there's just a lot of Muslims that really revere and honor our faith tradition. And some, frankly, I mean, are willing to go as far as committing crimes of passion when they are intentionally offended in that. And again, that is not to justify it, but you have to be human. You have to understand. I mean, right now, my brother, okay, we're here in beautiful Tampa, Florida right now. Go to the gun show. Really, go to the gun show and take an American flag and desecrate it and see what happens. What do you think would happen if somebody were to go to a gun show here in Tampa, Florida, mm-hmm. and start desecrating an American flag? Do you think he'd walk out of there in one piece? Mm-hmm. No. All right. Our brothers, our sisters, our fellow Americans, some that are proud rednecks, you know, and I don't say that in an insulting way. I mean, I got a lot of friends right here. They identify as proud rednecks. They will not tolerate that. You know, you disrespect the flag. You disrespect the country. You better believe you're going to get what's coming to you. Why? Because the people around there are so in love and they revere the flag so much that they will literally lose control. As a criminal defense attorney, I will say they're committing a crime of passion. You know, it happens. People are people. You can't put a false standard to people. So the issue is within the Muslim tradition. I think there's so many people who revere and honor Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the Islamic tradition, the Quran, you know, Prophet Jesus, etc., that some people actually just lose, you know, they'll commit crimes of passion. And unfortunately, it seems like you know, there just isn't the same level of reverence and honor amongst many Christians towards their faith tradition. And that is why it's not that there's any special exceptions for Islam. In fact, I would say Islam is one of the most targeted faiths. You know, you can look at the Fear Inc. report, hundreds of millions of dollars spent to demonize Islam and Muslims.
What's the report? Fear Inc.
Just Google Fear Inc. Islamophobia.
So the premise that was trying to be built on, this is a false premise, that people are scared, the media is scared to allow you to talk about Christianity, but allow you to talk about Islam. I mean, this is a false narrative.
It's a completely false narrative. I mean, and the media has heavily attacked Islam. And, you know, again, we can provide a lot of data about the disproportionate targeting of the Muslim community and the Islamic faith and the double standards, the whole hate profiteer industry. Yeah. There's people, brother, if I wanted to just make millions literally overnight, I would just have to start bashing Islam. The contracts, the funding, the money that is out there for that is insane. And the way the media does it, even the studies have shown about how the Muslims and Islam is covered. I mean, there's a lot of intentional targeting against the Muslim community. So this idea that people won't target Islam, but will target Christianity is wrong. Now, look, I do believe that there is still efforts to target both Christians and Muslims. And I don't believe we should pit it against each other. You know, I think we have to stand united and say, listen, I am going to stand with my Christian brothers and sisters and they're going to stand with me. And I think there's a beautiful meme that's out there where, you know, you find all the sorts of immorality and degeneracy, and then a Muslim and a Christian stand together and saying, we're going to fight this together. Why not? Let's do it together. And let's not turn on each other. Let us remember that we should fight against the immorality that's out there. And we may still have serious disagreements, but you know what? We will engage with love to come to the truth together.
What can you call this? Is it just plain hypocrisy? Have you seen, you spend a lot of time also on the X, and you'll see, not just there in general, when you start to engage in some of these discussions and you bring up Jesus or you try to engage about, with the sincere people, it goes pretty well, but with other people, even sometimes the people are not so sincere, if they have a moment and you can break through and you answer some of these questions, we've seen amazing turnarounds. But we also, we see that Muslims will jump to defend Jesus. The Bible calls Jesus a prophet, a servant of God. We confirm that. Of course, we can agree to disagree, and we defend his honor. There's nowhere, anywhere in the Bible where he clearly, explicitly said, I am God, worship me. Nowhere. It's not there. So when you bring that up, and kindly, respectfully, then it's like, okay, we can agree to disagree at the end. If you want to still believe that, we still respect each other and we go on. But you see this going below the belt, beyond, I mean, disgusting things that are said about Islam, about Muhammad. And then if you say, hold on, right? If you want to look, you mention a prophet by the name of Lut. He's also a prophet of ours. You know, you have actually stories in the Bible, in Genesis. I don't even know if we want to go there, but what he's doing with his, we reject that. You have David and sending his general, right? You know, what happened, and he's sending his general to go ahead, and he's committing adultery. I mean, we can go and start to attack back in this way on these prophets, but there are prophets too. So it's like they're throwing glass stones out of a glass house. It's just clear hypocrisy. I mean, this needs to be called out by other Christians if we're going to go on a way towards peace and understanding. I mean, you don't have logical arguments to point out, and you just, there's a context. If you sit and talk, we can explain things. But have you noticed this?
Well, you know, you bring up a very important point that, frankly, I haven't thought about a lot. But it's so true, and that is that you really will not find any mainstream, credible, learned Muslim. I've never actually seen a Muslim online bash Jesus, peace be upon him.
Not bash Jesus or any of the prophets in the Bible.
Or Abraham. You never find Muslims disrespecting the other prophets. We always will honor them. And that's essential, because as a Muslim, I believe I will not enter...
Or attack Christianity. Like,
It's completely different. Like I said, as a Muslim, I will not enter heaven if I dishonor Jesus. If I were right now, I'm going to tell you this right now. If someone were to give me $10 billion, but I have to say something negative towards Jesus in a derogatory way, insulting to him, dishonoring him, I swear to God, I wouldn't even think about it for a second. The answer is no.
$10
billion. $10 billion, make it $100 billion. There is no amount of money in the world.
I want people to really think about it.
No, I'm dead serious. There is no amount of money. If Elon Musk were to come to me and offer me everything he owns, but say, Hassan, you must say Jesus is, I won't even complete it, but use the word, as insult as low as a liar.
How about, there's some people out there that say he's burning in the hellfire and feasting.
I've heard of it, it's crazy.
The people who support what you started opening up with, this state, oppressive state,
crazy.
They're allies, and these are the people who are actually crazy. Antichrist.
Crazy, like, crazy. But if somebody, look, just to use the word Jesus and a liar in the same sentence, if somebody were to offer me $100 billion to claim Jesus was a liar, I would never accept it.
Not just you, me too.
All of us. Any Muslim, bro. Absolutely. Any Muslim. Take the poorest Muslim who's starving, right? $100 billion simply to say that Jesus was a... and then say the word liar. See, I won't even say the sentence. If you were to offer me $1 billion to use the word Jesus and a liar in the same sentence in reference to him, I would reject it. And so would every Muslim in the world that practices and cares about their faith. Why? Because we love and we honor Jesus, peace be upon him, and we believe we cannot enter heaven if we dishonor Jesus or Moses or Abraham or any of God's messengers. Because when you dishonor the messenger, you're dishonoring the message and the one who sent that message, which is the Creator. So that's a beautiful thing. I think Muslims all over the world honor Jesus and Moses and Abraham. But unfortunately, we don't always see that reciprocated. So you will find some people using very vile language in reference to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We don't respond with vile insults to them. And the difference is, they are attacking Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, based on false information that they think about him. Whereas we don't ever attack Jesus, peace be upon him. We may push back against the false information attributed about Jesus, peace be upon him, but we will never ever insult Jesus, peace be upon him. And in fact, to the extent we argue and we engage and we debate with our Christian brothers and sisters, we do so trying to revive and bring back the pure message of Jesus. So we attack the alterations, never Jesus himself, peace be upon him. And I think that's a powerful thing. Again, you don't always find people reciprocating that same honor to us, but it's okay. We're Muslims, we are sincere, and we honor all of God's prophets, even if people choose to attack our own prophet based on misinformation. But we will not stoop low. When they aim low, we stay high, my brother.
Yeah, I had tweeted something regarding this. I said, in Islam, you'll go to hell for mocking or disrespecting Jesus, peace be upon him. That's a true statement. 100%. What you're saying, Ron, is, I mean, this is just consensus.
That's why, listen, you will never find one credible Muslim who will accept any amount of money to insult Jesus or Moses or Abraham.
Yeah.
You won't.
All right, let's wrap it up. We covered a lot. We covered the Olympics, the opening Olympics, mocking Jesus be upon him, peace and blessings be upon him, and then Muslims stepping up to go ahead and defend the honor of Jesus. We mentioned Andrew Tate. You should go visit him. And,
Inshallah, man. We're ready, brother Andrew. Mashallah, we're ready to visit.
Andrew,
I mean,
you ready to us to see your brothers here? I mean, Hassan there, over there. Romain.
You know, he's reached out and said he would love for us to visit him and connect. And listen, I got to say, you know, I know he gets a lot of heat. He gets attacked a lot. But I remember when we did a show back in the day when he was still in jail, and they told me these charges are bogus. You know, he's
going to
jail.
Yeah, we did a lot of those programs, yeah.
And he's out. And I'll tell you something, getting to know him one-on-one, I mean, look, no one is perfect. Certainly, I'm not perfect. But I will tell you this, I've seen him to be one of the most sincere, selfless, and generous people. There is so much charitable work that he supports. And it's not all what you see online. There's a lot more that people don't even know about. And alhamdulillah, I know a lot of billionaires. I know a lot of mega millionaires. But whenever there's an important cause, we know. You don't even have to ask Andrew. You just let him see that there's a cause. Next thing you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 sent for that cause. MashaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect him and guide him and use him for goodness and make him a beautiful example that, listen, no matter how much you succeed in this life, at the end of the day, you won't find peace or success without faith. And I hope he continues to inspire many people to find faith and to keep God number one, and then to translate their material financial success in this life into success in the hereafter by using the resources you have to give in charity.
Mm-hmm. Ameen. And then we cleared up much of the misconceptions here and the false premise, the narrative with Patrick Ben David. That was brought to our attention. Hopefully, we did some justice with that.
We got to give him a call, man. I think we need to have a conversation with PB. Look, I never like talking about people. I like to talk to people, and
talk
I feel like
us.
It would be a great conversation to be had, because I think there's a lot for him to learn, for his audience to learn. I'm sure things that we can learn as well by engaging with him. But that's what we need. We need to bring people to the table to have conversations driven by love, not driven by hate, and not whitewashing the conversations. Yes. Not, you know, I always say true interfaith dialogue isn't where we pretend to agree, especially where we don't, and then just build a false friendship based on that. It's where we recognize the real differences we have, but that these differences need not stop us from uniting to do good together.
The door is open. He knows where we're at. We've made it clear. We're here to go ahead and facilitate that. This is also, you're ready. So we're ready. We covered a lot here. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. This is Hassan Shibli from the Muslim Legal. Some of your experiences here. Thank you very much for
my pleasure, man.
Over this.
Exactly. We're just, you know, myself, my law firm, the Tampa community. We're just excited and blessed to have the Dean Center right here in Tampa, and hope to do more of this, my brother.
Allah, we're about to go pray Maghrib.
Let's go. Mashallah. Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum.
hope you enjoyed this episode of The Dean Show. To subscribe, hit that notification bell so you don't miss exciting episodes like this one. A free copy of the Quran. Go to thedeanshow.com. We'll send you that as a gift from me to you. We'll see you next time here at the channel. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.